Hello and welcome to This Is My Dram, a whiskey and music podcast with me, Stu, and my fellow This Is My Drama, Andy, in which we review a whiskey and we create a playlist of music to go with it. Today we've got a Swedish episode for you because we were reviewing McMurra's first ever age statement whiskey, the McMurra 10 Year. And we were really lucky enough to be joined by Angela Durazio, who's actually the master blender at McMurra, and she was the person behind the putting together of this whiskey. So yeah, stick around for that interview later on in the podcast. It was actually recorded over Skype slightly after we had recorded the rest of the podcast, so we didn't get to refer to that interview very much during the rest of our chat, but it was really fascinating stuff from Angela, so stick around from that. We also found out that actually we'd been mispronouncing the whiskey the whole time. It's actually McMurra rather than McMurra, so we do apologise for our terrible pronunciation throughout the podcast, but there you go, what can you do? As for the playlist, we put together a playlist of Swedish music, which turned out to be quite poptastic, as you'd imagine, with some great Swedish pop out there, so quite unusual for us to have quite a poppy playlist. But also, Angela added a song of her own, which is a fantastic folk track, which we also play on the podcast. So just before we get on with the podcast, just a reminder to follow us on Twitter, at This Is My Dram, if you want to chat to us and interact with us outside of the podcast. And also, check out our blog, thisismydram.wordpress.com. And whilst we can now actually play full tracks on the podcast, which has been fantastic for series 3, we don't play every single track we put on the playlist, so you can still check out the remainder of the playlist on Spotify at the username This Is My Dram, all one word. Fantastic, right? Let's crack on with the podcast. Enjoy our Swedish McMurra episode. This is my dram, this is my dram.
Hello and welcome to This Is My Dram Series 3 Episode 2. We are deep into Series 3 now. We've had our first episode last time with full tracks being played and had some lovely feedback about that.
So more kind of nicknames for us more than anything.
Yeah,
we've had this morning Smashy and Nicey.
The Smashy and Nicey of the of the whiskey world, which was thanks to Amateur Drummer for that moniker. It was the photo. I suddenly thought, yeah, we kind of probably do look a little bit like that. But
ridiculous likeness, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we wear jackets like that, so I mean, the listeners can't see that, but we're wearing Smashy and Nicey jackets, shell suits.
And I think we're going to start to talk a little bit more in that style now as we introduce the music as we go along.
I prefer the nickname Coalition of Chaos, to be honest. I think us team, the Coalition of Chaos.
That's pretty good.
Take that. Yeah, so thank you for all the lovely feedback on the first episode that we had of Series 3 with the full tracks. And
I did notice something awful listening back to the last podcast. And I can now notice that I'm doing it now. When you listen back to your voice and you realise you're doing something and then you can't sort of ignore it from then on. I do that thing. What was that big cartoon rooster called?
I say, that guy.
Is it Foghorn Leghorn?
Foghorn Leghorn, yeah, that's the guy.
I've realised that I do that all the time when I'm speaking.
I hadn't
realised it before. I can hear myself doing it now.
I haven't heard you in a deep Southern American.
No, not in the accent, just in terms of when I'm
right, yeah, there you go. You just did it there. Yeah. Oh, so you repeat yourself.
Yeah, I repeat myself. So I obviously work through my sentences by speaking them as I'm saying them.
You're thinking about it really hard now.
You just
paused before you said that next bit to make sure you didn't say the same words again.
But it's one of those things that now I've noticed it, I can't not hear it when I'm listening, so I'm probably ruining the whole podcast for listeners now.
Our listeners aren't going to be able to listen ever again.
They're just going to go, God, that guy just repeats himself all the time.
Actually, so, you're just a victim of lazy editing, because I could edit out the second time you say it every time.
That would be a fair amount of work for you to have to go through and edit all those things out. But
I'd like to pretend that it wasn't heavily edited anyway. for the benefit of our listeners, they'll appreciate the fact that I do heavily edit it. So today we're doing a Swedish episode because we are trying Sweden's first ever age statement whiskey.
Yeah.
McMurrow's released its 10-year in the last couple of months, and we've got a sample of it, rather than the full bottle, unfortunately, but you never know.
Yeah, so I've had, I think, Brooks Whiskey and yep. Svensk, mm-hmm. I think, are the two expressions that I've had before. I was pretty hammered when I had both of them.
Both at the festival, yeah.
Newcastle Whiskey Festival 2017. So yeah, really looking forward to this 10-year.
And luckily enough, with our, you know, our raison d'etre being whiskey and music, we're pretty lucky that Swedish music is pretty brilliant, to be honest. And, you know, I suppose quite a lot of amazing pop music comes from Sweden, so we've got quite a poppy set of songs for yeah. today.
I hope you all like ABBA.
Should we find out whether he's joking? Listen to the rest of the episode.
Well, never mind ABBA. Have you heard of Max Martin, the Swedish... so he's a heavy metal singer,
no.
But he also writes pop songs to make money, basically.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And he has written pretty much everything that you've heard on Radio 1 for the last 10 years,
there you go.
More or less. So all the Britney Spears stuff's down to him,
okay.
Katy Perry, Justin Timberlake... Justin Bieber, all those guys. He writes, this guy Max Martin, he's like one of the highest earning pop songwriters, but he mainly does it to make money so that he can tour with his metal band. So
nice.
Yeah,
so a big musical background in Sweden then, for many reasons.
Yeah, definitely. So I did consider having some Britney Spears on the playlist, but I think we'll
refrain.
We'll spare ourselves that.
We'll stick to the habit. Stick to the habit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we'll have some full tracks for you, as well as a playlist on Spotify for you to check out as well. But before we get stuck into the excitement of the whiskey, we did a Twitter competition in the last couple of weeks or so, where we offered out a dram of five of the whiskies we've tried on the podcast in the past. Including the Big Pete, the Nickers that we did, Nicker Pure Malt Black and Nicker from the Barrel, the Lafroig Triple Wood, and what was the other one? Paul John, Peter Tillett-Cast.
Yep.
So two of which of those are in our top four still at the moment. So it's an impressive selection of whiskies. And so we put it out to the guys on Twitter to retweet if they wanted to enter into the competition. And we had pretty much 100 entries. So we've got to do the prize draw for that. I
yeah.
thought about doing names in a hat, but with modern technology,
no need.
I did try it and get a little thing on the internet, random selector on the internet that did a nice Wheel of Fortune style thing,
okay.
where you heard the ticking and then there was a little fanfare at the end when
right,
you took
okay.
the right one. Unfortunately, it was limited to 50 selections, so we'll just have to make the noise ourselves. We'll do drum roll.
We're going to have to... yeah.
So can I have this? This is so anticlimactic. I'm literally going to click a button and it's going to come up with the winner. So let's have some build up. What we do?
Here comes the winner. I've never done this before.
I like the attempt though. Okay. Okay, 3, 2. What? That's worse. That's bad as well.
Just press the button.
Just press the button. Okay, I'm going to press the button. It's at the Andrew Carr. Oh, the Andrew Carr. Yes, so Andrew is one of our newer listeners.
Okay.
And I think he's actually in the region. With that this now looks like a fix then, because it looks like we're saving on postage and packaging.
Yeah.
By just giving it to him. So, at the Andrew Carr, congratulations. You've won those 5 drams of whiskey. Hope you enjoy them. And, hope you enjoy listening to the rest of the podcast.
Is this like on eBay, where it's sort of collection only?
Yeah.
It's actually only eligible to people who are within 15 miles of the podcast.
Anyone in Canada who entered, you have to fly over, pick it up. But there you go. So, yeah, at the Andrew Carr, exciting times. I feel there should be some sort of fanfare.
Yeah.
Maybe on the podcast? The podcast. I will do some sort of crazy noises going on at this point. If I do, they'll sound like this.
Congrats to the Andrew Carr for winning our competition. Congrats to the Andrew Carr for winning our competition. Well done to the Andrew Carr, and now we're gonna talk about whiskey. Congrats to the Andrew Carr.
So before we get stuck into the whiskey itself, the McMurrow 10-year, Andy, you've brought along a little bit of a unusual Swedish surprise.
Well, I realised that a lot of American distilleries do this. And I was quite surprised to see that Mike Myra have it. It's the white dog spirit or Witthund, as it's called, from Mike Myra, and it's basically the spirit as it comes out of the stills before it goes into the cask. So it's got no colour
and it's clear, isn't it?
It's picked up no additional flavours from the wood. It's the first time with a malt whiskey that I've had the opportunity to compare the uncasked version, I suppose, with the whiskey. So I thought it'd be interesting to try a little bit of this before we have the new 10-year and see what difference the cask made. So
this is literally the same process that this stuff has gone through as what the McMurray 10 went through before it got put in the casks entirely.
Exactly.
So this is directly comparable. One without not been casked at all. One spent 10 years in the cask.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Assuming they make it the same
way now.
Same way each time. This is the spirit that will have, you know, gone into a cask a decade ago.
So it's weird. It's a very alcoholic nose, as you'd expect, but it's not kind of like, it doesn't smell like vodka or something. You know,
no,
it smells very different from a normal spirit. It's actually quite. It's quite sweet, actually, isn't it?
It's quite sweet. Yeah. Quite malty.
I'm quite intrigued to taste it.
Very alcoholic on the palate.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't say necessarily pleasant. I wouldn't necessarily pick this drink necessarily. It's interesting to do, but it's
I think what you
it's
can
odd taste.
I think what I mean, obviously it'd be different for every new make spirit and every cask and everything else, but I think what I'm getting from this is that a lot of the initial flavour that you get on the palate from a cask aged whiskey is very much the flavours coming through the wood, because there's very little happening there until the alcoholic spirit kind of
subsided
a bit, and then I'm getting a sort of bit of licorice, bit of aniseed.
Mm.
But I would take that over most neat gins and neat vodkas, to be honest.
Well, it's a lot more drinkable than like a neat gin or a neat vodka, isn't it? I mean,
yes.
We've not got ice with it, so we're drinking it straight, and it's yeah, it's got flavour to it, doesn't it? I think it'd be interesting to see what that's like when to compare the two when we try the McMara 10-year.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if any of that flavour has
transferred through,
has kind of stayed in the decade it's been in the barrel. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. So shall we crack on and have our first song, Swedish song, to go on the podcast?
Sure.
So I went first last week, so your turn this week. What song are you going to go for to kick us off?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with a song by the Knife, who are Swedish electro pop, I suppose.
Pop in the loosest sense of the word.
Pop in the loosest sense of the word.
If pop had gone a little bit crazy in a mental asylum for like 10 years, I think
yeah,
that's how you'd describe it, isn't it?
No, they've definitely got a unique sound, and I think they're quite reclusive people. Most of the photos of them, I think they've got these kind of beak masks on, you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
You wear it kind of at a mask ball or something like that. So obviously you just don't, they don't want to speak to you, they don't want you know what they look like. I don't even think, did they do live gigs?
Yeah, they do, yeah. Yeah,
they do.
They wear like things, headsets and stuff like that whilst they're doing the live gigs to yeah, again, I think it is disguising their, not necessarily disguising their identity, but I think it's just more as part of their character, as they want to kind of come across as being a bit avant-garde and a bit different.
Yeah, yeah, we've all been in bands that were ashamed to be on stage. It's fine.
We weren't allowed to wear masks in our band.
Yeah, so I'd go with the song Heartbeats, which is just fantastic. It's been covered by numerous different people. I think the Jose Gonzalez version was a big chart hit, and who else has covered it? Ellie Goulding did a cover of it. And,
oh God, did she?
Yeah, yeah. I've not heard it, but
I'm glad I haven't heard it.
I know it's been covered quite a lot, but the original and best.
Oh, by a mile.
Heartbeats by the Knife.
Yeah, The Amazing Knife there with Heartbeats. In fact, that's the first song that's been included now twice on our playlist, because I did the live version of that in our alternate versions Oban Distillery one. So yeah, I'm also...
I wasn't paying attention, to be honest. So,
you totally forgot that. So before we crack on with tasting the whiskey, let's have a bit of background with what is now becoming world famous Science Bit. Did you realise we've had a review on iTunes that specifically said, "I love the Science Bit." So there you go. You are generally making waves in the podcasting world. People are specifically singling out your feature, your Science Bit feature, for high praise. So there you go.
I feel like it's fairly likely that was probably just me after a load of whiskey.
You just put a fake name in, and yeah. So I'm pretty sure it was a guy called Ian. So thanks Ian for appreciating the Science Bit. There you go. Just for Ian, dedicated to Ian, is this week's Science Bit.
It's 1998. A group of 8 students from Sweden went skiing, and each brought a bottle of whiskey to share on the trip. The skiers might have all been as Swedish as Andre Murer,
recovery from the Swede, but that could put pay to his chances. Moura dips in, still takes the lead.
But the whisky was all Scotch. A year later, armed with 100 litres still, yielding 30 litres of spirit in each batch, McMyra Whisky was born. McMyra began production in 1999, releasing a first edition in 2008 and core bottling Brooks Whisky in 2010. The distillery produces both a peated whisky using bog moss and juniper wood, as well as a lighter, unpeated version. The water comes from a boulder spring next to the distillery, with the barley and even some Swedish oak casks, all produced within Sweden's borders. McMyra's second distillery, called Gravitation, was designed by students from Stockholm's Royal Institute of Technology and went on stream in 2011. The structure stands 7 stories high, and much like the skiers who hatched the idea for McMyra on the mountain slopes, uses gravity to assist its mechanical processes.
So that was a ski slope in the background there. That was the, so they were sitting around drinking their whiskey and thought, you know, let's come up with a distillery. So yeah. At least I'm quite proud now that we just said, let's do a fucking podcast, instead of going, let's create a whole distillery.
Yeah.
Then the first Newcastle upon Tyne distillery.
Yeah, I mean, think of the mess we could have gotten.
I mean, we've spent a fair bit of money on this podcast, but imagine what it would have been if it had been a distillery.
I mean, I do often think if I win big on the scratch cards or something, or
that's what you do.
I'd probably, I think the northeast of England is, you know, would be a prime candidate for a whiskey distillery, and I think there's plenty of character to the region that you could get all the marketing bullshit you want for, for your NAS whiskies and everything else, you know.
Great. So, shall I do my first track on the
Fantastic,
podcast,
yeah.
And then we'll get stuck into the whiskey itself. I'm going to go for, I'm going to stick along the pop theme to kick us off, because the knife was kind of avant-garde pop. I'm going to go for straight up pop, and I'm going to go for probably one of the most famous artists to come out of Sweden, which is Robin.
ABBA.
Not ABBA. Any ABBA fans out there waiting, you may be waiting a long time. We're probably not going to do ABBA. But yeah, it's Robin. Robin, who initially, you know, charted back in the 90s with her first kind of big singles, and she did well in all around the world with her pop songs back then, and then kind of disappeared for a little bit, went a little bit underground, doing some kind of albums that didn't do particularly as well, and then she came back with this kind of renewed sense of kind of writing kind of songs that had a lot more depth and emotion in them, and yeah, definitely one of the, I mean, I can be quite snobby about pop music sometimes, but when pop music is done really well, it's absolutely brilliant. And I think Robin absolutely nails it. She manages to produce pop music that I absolutely love and think is fantastic, but whilst sticks very closely to the accessibility of that you'd expect from pop music. I had a really tough time picking a Robin track, but you've told me that I should go for Dancing on My Own, which is one of the 4 songs I had picked out for it.
I think I said Dancing Queen. I thought we were doing another. yeah, no, that's somewhere else. Absolutely fantastic song.
So. Yeah, I mean, this is just ultimate. I mean, the production on this is impeccable, but the song itself is just purely brilliant pop. The melody is fantastic. I just think she's absolutely nailed it with this. So, Dancing on My Own by Robin.
Love you better than I can.
There we go, Stockholm's finest, Robin.
Lovely stuff.
But yeah, so I think we're ready to get stuck into the whiskey itself. I'm really looking forward to trying it. So let's have a nose. It's really, really nice and rich.
Mm.
It's really lovely. It's reminding me a lot of quite a few scotches.
Yeah, yeah. There's a sherry note in there. Definitely. Very, very, very oaky though.
Yeah, oaky. Bit of chocolate in there. And a slight spice going on as well. Well, it's worth stating that we both suffer quite heavily from hay fever, so notes on the nose can be discounted. Yeah.
No, luckily this nose is
powerful enough.
Clearing the sinuses, I think.
Mm, it is nice. It's definitely richer than I was expecting. I was expecting quite a light, fruity whiskey just from what I've tried from them in the past, but this is it's definitely quite a rich...
Yeah, I think oak.
Oaky. Yeah.
Oak, dark chocolate, the sherry definitely, and a kind of floral, violety kind of note in there.
Mm. Yeah, really nice.
Good stuff.
I'm really liking the nose. Great. Should we go for the palate?
Really nice and smooth.
Yeah, it's lovely. I mean, the first thing that's jumping out is again that woodiness, but it's not kind of young wood. It doesn't taste like a young whiskey. Woodiness, it's got a bit of maturity to it, hasn't it? It's got that kind of slight mustiness to it, which is really nice.
Yeah, really nice kind of cinnamon spice flavour.
Mm, I'm really impressed with that. Yeah, a bit of sweeter notes going on in there as well. I think the chocolate's coming back.
Yeah,
slightly toffeed, but more kind of dark chocolate than a sweet toffee note, I'd say.
I'll tell you what, that licorice from the new make spirit. Is right in there, coming into the finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, coming through in the finish.
I like the way that the sherry's in there, but it's not too pointed. It's not mouth drying.
Yeah, it's actually very warming and smooth. The whiskey slips down nicely, and actually, yeah, you're right. It's quite smooth in the mouth, and yeah, it doesn't have that kind of bitterness to it that sometimes you can get from something that's been too sherried. You know,
yeah,
it dries your mouth out. It's actually not far from a sherry to Bayside, is it? I mean, when you think about...
There's aspects of that in there, yeah.
Yeah, when you think about a good sherry to Bayside, getting a lot of those notes, it's not... The sherry notes aren't overpowering like some sherry to Baysides, but it has that kind of richness to it that you get from a lot of them.
What you often get with these sort of sherried whiskies where the... Where you've got the sweetness and spice, and it's almost like, sort of raisins and cinnamon, and it comes across as a very kind of wintry or autumnal maybe whiskey. Whereas this has a kind of more summery lightness to it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's kind of, there's almost a vanilla in there, isn't there, which kind of comes through, which gives a bit more of a lightness, a bit more of a, sweeter note to it. So I agree with that. Yeah, I'm really impressed with that though. I think that's a brilliant whiskey.
Very fitting with the Swedish pop music of yours being. It's got a mainstream element. It's got notes that are recognisable, but there's just a little bit of edge there.
A little bit of character.
Something that makes it a bit different.
Yeah,
it's kind of bringing through a sense of summer and tall forests and things like that with the lightness and the oakiness. So yeah,
it's really lovely. I mean, most distilleries, I think, would be pretty proud if this was their first age statement whiskey they'd ever released. You know, that's quite a whiskey for that, isn't it? That's so impressive. I'd heard good things, to be honest, about this before drinking it, but I was kind of a little bit, I wanted to try it for myself because the Brooks whiskey that was released before, I thought was a good whiskey, but yeah. I don't think it quite had the character that I would hope from the main Swedish whiskey that's out there, and having never tried a Swedish whiskey before, but now they've released this, I think this is really kind of sets the character of Swedish whiskey. I think this kind of now can almost define Swedish whiskey, can't it?
I think that that oakiness from the virgin oak casks is a bit sharper with the younger spirit. Whereas I think having let that age and then giving it the Oloroso sherry cask finish as well, that oakiness is more grounded in some sweetness and spice that, makes it a bit more reminiscent, like you say, of a good shared space side or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely gorgeous. Okay, so we're lucky enough to actually have an interview with Angela Durazio, who is the master blender at McMira, and she's been heavily involved with the blending and creation of the McMira 10-year. So we've had a little bit of a chat with her, and this is what she had to say.
Yeah. An interview with Angela. She's master blender for McMira. She says some great things and we chat mostly about whiskey and music and that. If you don't like it, you can go and listen to some other podcast. That isn't about whiskey and music, and it's like they're boring and stuff. But, you know, we think it's pretty brilliant.
Yeah.
Angela was like dead interested and stuff. Kick it.
Okay, so joining us all the way from Italy is Angela Durazio, and she's usually based in Stockholm and working at the McMira Distillery, and she is the master blender at McMira. So hello, Angela. Thank you very much for joining us. Can you just introduce yourselves to our podcast listeners and let us know a little bit about how you became the master blender at McMira?
Yes. Hi, everybody. I'm Angela. I'm half Swedish, half Italian. I live in Sweden, in Stockholm, and I work with McMira since 2002, and I became the master blender just by starting to work with the founders a couple of years after they formed the company. And I came on board as a whiskey consultant, they called it. So I was at that time, I was working at the big whiskey bar in Stockholm, and I was doing lots of tastings, and I was doing some competitions worldwide as a sensory person. And they asked me to join them to do tastings for the whiskey clubs in Sweden, as they knew I knew them. And the McMira whiskey was starting to get 3 year old then. And then I started holding tastings and testing all the stuff in the cellars, and after a year or two, my boss, he offered me to become the head of development. I started to develop the recipes, and from there on it went. And after a few years later, people started calling me Master Blender, and my boss said, okay, you know, we have to upgrade your title.
Okay.
So we upgraded my title to Master Blender, and I've been doing all the bottlings and all the recipes for the bottlings that McMira has released since then.
Fantastic. What's your day-to-day job then involve when you're at the distillery? What you're doing on? You said you were there kind of Monday to Wednesday. What would you do day to day?
One of the days I usually go down to the mine where we have our big warehouse. It's an old test mine for Sandvik, the mining corporation in the area. So it's a big test mine beside an old copper mine, and we have all our big casks in there. So one of the days I'm down there taking samples with my colleagues down there, or sampling things. And or guiding people. When we have journalists or people coming down, I'm often the one taking them down, showing them the different areas and showing them the different casks. And we have a spice room where we have all our spicing casks, which are like double wood casks, sort of. And then what else do I do? I taste a lot of whiskey. A regular week, I try between 50 and 250 whiskies.
Wow, fantastic. We need a job like that.
It's like the perfect job, basically, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I do. And usually it's not the testing the whiskey as a consumer test the whiskey that you kind of... or like if you guys try whiskey, you try it out and you look for the aromatics, and you maybe you you want to write the poetry about it, if it's a good one. Mainly, these whiskies are being checked because they belong to a bottling that is being done with the recipe already decided, our main bottlings. And there I get all the casks being selected for the next bottling for that one. So then I check all of those and I sniff it, I taste it, and I spit it out. And I do that quite quickly. So it's more a question of finding if something is not good. Yeah, so it's not the poetry book tasting.
Yeah. So you determine the recipe for the whiskies that McMurrah has released. So I was wondering what's your process behind that? What do you rely on? Do you rely on instinct? Do you rely on experience? Do you rely on something more scientific? How do you actually decide what goes into one of the whiskies that's eventually going to get released?
Well, it's a long answer to that because initially I didn't have any knowledge of real blending. But since I'm a sensory person, I had the knowledge of taste and aromas. So, and the scientific part was the putting together everything according to a real recipe and scaling it up. I would say today I'm relying a lot on my knowledge. So if I have a new component, like for example, we had the rum casks in the autumn that we exchanged with Plantation. So we gave them our casks that had held whiskey, and they gave us their old rum casks. So in that case, I had a new type of cask, which I filled with our whiskey. That was 6 months earlier. And so I had something new to play with. And then I had my old friends. So what I do is I do a couple of basic blends, basic recipes that I put together. And then I mix those on a very small scale, so it's like drops and centiliters. I mix those, and together with the new whiskey, I see the difference. So I have 5 different basic recipes that I surely have written down exactly how I've done them, because otherwise I can't reproduce them and I can't scale them up either.
Yeah.
And then mixing them with the exact same amount of rum finished whiskey. Of course, it's not as it is in the end, because in the end it has been married together for a long time. But you get the sense of where it's going. So you get the sense for example, if you have the rum finished whiskey and the sherry finished whiskey, if they don't go together, you sense it. If they go together, you sense it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you sense that the bourbon is better off with a new component than the sherry. Sometimes you sense that, okay, you might need a bit of smoke in here, because we do smoky whiskey as well, as you know.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of playing around, testing, and then if you have a couple of samples that you think are worth continuing, you redo the sample again, because if you take a few drops and then you scale it up, you have to be sure that the scale is the right scale that you do. So you do the samples a few times, and then you test it on colleagues. So my colleagues are I'll go to them and I'll say, try this. And then I look at their faces. If there's something that I'm sort of, something that is really new or have you tried Blomstertid, our cherry wine finish?
Oh, no, that sounds great.
Okay, so we released last spring, we released a seasonal whiskey called Blomstertid, which means flower times, and it was finished on sweet cherry wine casks that we had seasoned ourselves. Wow. And in that sense, I was pretty sure from the beginning that I loved the components together with Macmira whiskey, but my colleagues weren't that sure. So I have to go to them and say, hey guys, what do you think of the taste together with the Macmira house style? Do you think they go together? Do you, you know, and I have to interview them. And generally I look at their faces and I know if they like it or not.
So we tried the new 10 year last night, which mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. absolutely fantastic, by the way. So what were you aiming for with that whiskey to be sort of above and beyond what has been released so far, and for it to have a kind of unique character? What was the sort of objective behind that one?
Well, I thought it was great, as it was the first whiskey on a little bigger scale to come out as an age statement whiskey. I thought it would be good to let people know how really complex and full a Macmira whiskey can be. And I thought the four components used in this one were, you know, just absolutely stunning together. So my goal was to have people who really have said that, you know, Macmira is not for me, it's too young, I don't know, it's, you know, it's too much here or there, to say, okay, I rest my case.
That's pretty much what we thought as well, so yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what I noticed and what I think we picked up on quite a lot when we were tasting it yesterday is the sherry notes certainly stand out quite a lot. You get a very rich sherry, you know, all those sherry notes, the chocolatey taste and things like that really stand out and made it a really beautiful, rich whiskey. Was that something that was in your mind as well? Did you think that you wanted those sherry notes to be quite a powerful element?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. We have used sherry, but I would say that I use sherry a little less usually. And usually the sherry is not this strong, so this is more like the traditional Scottish, very rich kind of sherry notes. And lots of times I think that hides the house character of the whiskey. And in this case, I took away some of it because I thought it was very, very, very rich. Because initially when I did the blend, I had more than this. But okay, I left it in because I think a lot of people enjoy it at that richness that it had.
Yeah, I think we definitely loved it. We kind of felt that we could have easily mistaken it for a kind of a sherried Speyside whiskey. But at the same time, there was that unique character that was in there. A slightly kind of herbal, floral, lighter note, wasn't there? Really impressed us, really, really blew us away. So thanks for producing such an amazing whiskey, really.
Oh, thank you.
Well, on those lines then, are you a particular fan of kind of sherried whiskey then, or those style of whiskies? And if you had to pick a favourite that wasn't Macmara or a whiskey that you've loved in the past, what would you say are your favourite types of whiskey?
I would say I'm generally I'm more of a bourbon cask kind of person. I like sherried whiskies, but I'm not the fan of the heavily sherried one. As I said, I often think it kills the style, the finesse of whiskies. So yeah, I like sherry, but not too much. And if it's not the Macmira whiskey, I'd say I'm very fond of the Islay distilleries, and I think it's because I know them and I've been there so much. But Bruichladdich is one of my favorites, and Ardbeg. Yeah, I would say those two, and Kilchoman also. I think the delicacy of Kilchoman, they have sort of everything. They have fruit, they have peat, they have maltiness, and I think it's a complex dram. I like it.
So, but mainly in the kind of Scotch whiskey kind of region, is that your main focus rather than?
No. Now I just said that because that was what came to mind. I love bourbon whiskey. I love bourbon whiskies. I love Irish whiskies. I love Japanese whiskies. Even though I prefer the ones that don't have too much wood in them. I find a lot of them very woody, but I like them. They are very well structured and so on. And I, you know, but bourbon is really, really what I like. If you talk about the New World whiskey, I'm very fascinated by the different styles of bourbon that there are out there.
Well, I suppose the other thing we should ask you about, because we are a whiskey and music podcast, we've put a lot of songs into the podcast and into the playlist of Swedish bands and artists. And, you know, Sweden is brilliant for its, especially its, I suppose its pop music is world renowned, really, isn't it? You get some fantastic pop artists, but it's great to find other kind of artists that are coming out of Sweden. It just seems so brilliant for music in general, not only historically, but you know, the modern bands that are coming out as well. And I asked you to pick a track for our playlist as well and to play on the podcast. So what was the track you've picked, and do you want to just explain why you picked it and why you love it so much?
Yeah, I did pick one of my favorite Swedish artists. It's Anis Brander. The song I picked was Grace, I believe.
Yep.
And Anis is a Swedish singer-songwriter who produces her own music mostly. Sometimes she co-writes with other artists. Yeah. And I love her songs. They are very... they are a bit nostalgic, they are a bit blue, and they are, some of them are happy, but most are a bit blue. Beautiful voice. She mostly sings in English. And I just think they are wonderful, and they are expressive, and it's sort of a Swedish interpretation of, you know, everything that's going on out there with music styles coming in from everywhere.
She was 10 years old, still playing with dolls. She had a father's smile and a heart of gold. She chased all the rainbows in the sky for a fortune to find and a love beyond time. But her so-called friends are not so naive, so she turns hollow and gray. It's easy to feel small in a world without something we call grace. If she don't feel nothing, doesn't mean she's dead. She wonders why they think they're doing right. She's waiting for a man. Down, she didn't make a sound. They pierced into a world and cut her flowers down. She knows when to speak and when not to. A voice can be silent, a young heart stops. And she's got bruises that no one sees. They are aching inside. Slowly, her life is drained from something we call grace. If she don't feel nothing, doesn't mean she's dead. She wonders why they think they're doing right. She's waiting for a miracle that never comes around. Feel nothing doesn't mean she's dead. She won't.
So what would you say sets Swedish whiskey apart from the rest of the world then, if you had to sell Swedish whiskey to someone who'd never tried it before?
I would say that generally we have a good quality. I don't think we have the same style of whiskeys. If you compare Mackmyra to, let's say, Ven whiskey is much more flowery than ours. If you compare us to Box whiskey is more malty, is much more Scottish traditional. If you compare us to Smögen, you know, he makes a lot smaller batches and he has much more. Yeah, it's more Scotch in his way, and he's also more the little craft distillery making everything in very small and detailed way. I think all of them, and Gammelstilla, they make great whiskies. They're not so old yet. I think they're all great. So I think good stuff coming out from Sweden.
Mm. A place to watch then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, well, that leads me on nicely to the next question I had, which was, what's next for Mackmyra Distillery then? What will you be doing in the future? And if you can tell us anything, if you're allowed to.
I would have to kill you.
Yeah, well.
That's all right. That's okay with you. I'd say, I don't know if you read our news, but we have reopened our old Mackmyra Bruk distillery and we have renamed it. So we call it Mackmyra Lab Distillery. And we have one of our younger distillers has come back to us and he's in charge of that, starting making gin actually in this moment. Mm-hmm. He's doing gin. And so that's the first thing we're going to do there. And then I think the idea there is to give everybody who wants to come and do their own stuff, their own whiskey. You know, if you guys want to come and do your own whiskey, you are welcome to the lab distillery. Make your own batch. You know, you talk with us and we'll talk about how you would like to have it. And then we can distill it with you and bottle it. And we're going to have a small bottling line there.
Wow.
And that's the idea of that place.
Wow. We'll be on the first plane over.
yeah, sure, you're welcome.
Fantastic.
and what else? You know, we hope to be able to make the initial ideas of the whiskey village where we have the distillery, the new Gravity distillery. You know, to make it a bit bigger and perhaps build some more houses and have people come over and stay there. And
yeah, it sounds fantastic. That Andy was telling me all about it before we did the podcast, and it just sounds incredible. Mm. It's more energy efficient because of the way that the gravity works. Is that right? Is it?
Yeah. It's more energy efficient because it's built for us.
Yeah.
So the old distillery was an old protected house that was we had to fit in everything without destroying the walls. This distillery is built. This is like a skyscraper. It's 35 meter high. We have built it accordingly, so it will be. It's very it's energy efficient. You know, everything goes down, but it's also very pedagogical. So if you come and visit us, you take the elevator up to the sky bar, and in the sky bar you can have a tasting or a dinner and a food and whiskey dinner, and then you can go down and check the different levels and learn and see.
Wow.
How it's done.
I think we have to get a visit booked in, really. It sounds,
we're going to have to come and see the place.
Yeah, you absolutely, you should. And then in the bottom you have my little lab, my office/lab. So it's a CNO lab, it's called, Chief Nose Officer. That's my other title. And you can come and visit me and we can have some nice tastings together and so on.
That'd be fantastic, yeah. Andy, do you have any final questions before we say goodbye and let Angela get back to her lovely holiday in Italy?
No, I think it's just a bit embarrassing. We've been calling it Mackmyra the whole way through the
I know.
That's okay, no worries. A lot of people call it Mackmyra. It's like that's the logic of reading it out in English. So I just say Mackmyra because that's how we pronounce it. But it's completely fine if you say Mackmyra.
Oh, good.
We'll get used to the Swedish pronunciation because it'll make us sound better, definitely. But there's a bit of a running joke on the podcast that I can't say any distillery names correctly, so it's just adding to the long list of distillery names I can't say. Well, thank you so much, Angela. We really appreciate you talking to us. It's been fantastic, and I hope we get to visit the distillery soon because it sounds absolutely brilliant. And we did absolutely adore the 10-year whiskey you've produced. So fantastic.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, I think time for your second track.
Yes, it's a band called Mike Snow, Swedish band, who just do really fantastic pop music.
Great videos as well.
Yeah, really, really funny videos. The video to this song that I'm going to play, it's called My Trigger, has a kind of choreographed version of the Cuban Missile Crisis in the in the video. It's an absolutely fantastic music video. We'll definitely have to link that.
Yeah,
link that on Twitter as well. But I mean, you were saying earlier with Swedish pop, they have this real tendency to take pop music as a genre and a concept and as a, you know, melody driven music and just not be afraid to do something a bit more interesting with it.
Yeah, exactly. Just churn out the manufactured variety, but actually use pop as a creative genre. Yeah,
yeah, that's
fantastic.
Yeah. So this is a great song. I challenge you not to dance around your kitchen table or wherever you are with a...
Is that what we're going to be doing?
...glass of whiskey in your hand. Well, we might be. I don't know. I'm a bit...
You can picture us dancing around our kitchen table now.
I've got bad knees, so I probably won't.
You're such an old bastard. Okay, here we go. My Trigger by Mike Snow. Awesome. Love it. Mike Snow. Mike's spelled with two I's for anyone who wants to find them. But yeah, so great pop tunes. This is just turning into pop heaven, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. So let's do the Drummy League table for this fantastic McMurray tenure.
Because it's a Drummy League table. Reckon all the whiskey so you can tell which is the best.
So, what are your thoughts, Andy, on the nose of the McMurray?
Yeah, there's a bit of spirit to begin with, but that, as soon as you get past that, it's just nice kind of oak. Then the sherry.
It's quite a rich, warming nose. I'm impressed. It reminds me of a lot of the sherry whiskies we've tried, and I really like that. And that's something I look for in a whiskey. I think I like something where I can just be smelling it and feel comforted and feel that warmness to it.
Yeah,
I think you're at a 7 out of 10.
Solid 7.
Yeah,
I'm going to join you. I'm going to copy you. It's a 7. It's a solid 7, isn't it? Solid 7. That a really nice nose, really warming. I suppose the thing I'd like to see, and perhaps this will come from their age statement whiskies later on, if they produce 15 year whatever they go for next. A little bit more complexity, something, a little bit more jumping out as an interesting note that just takes you back a bit, but it's just a really lovely, warming, rich nose. So, yeah, I think 7 is fair enough for that.
Yeah.
And on the palate?
I mean, the nose is nice, it's very good, but I think the palate is just phenomenal on this. It's
really nice. The chocolate notes, the fruit notes, gorgeous. It reminds me of that kind of, dark chocolate with bits of raspberry in it, That's what it's reminding me of.
Yeah,
it's got a lovely, warming,
perfect balance between the bitterness and the sweetness and the spice, with the oakiness staying there, kind of ever present, but not overpowering any of those.
Angela has done a fantastic job of melding all those together, hasn't she? In the blend of what she's managed to create there, so yeah, absolutely fantastic that she's got that balance, managed to achieve that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say it's up there with the Glenfarclas.
Oh wow, strong words from Andy. It's up there with the Glenfarclas. Yeah, it is definitely. Yeah, I mean, it reminded me of a Glenfarclas when I was trying it earlier. I just didn't want to discredit our reputation.
But put it this way,
now I've tried it more. I totally agree.
I haven't had the Glenfarclas 10.
Yeah.
And obviously they've had a good bit longer to work on that and perfect it.
If I bought a Glenfarclas 10 that tasted that good, I'd be really happy.
Put it this way, I'm very, very interested to see what sort of things McMurray are going to be producing once they've had stuff in the cask for 15 years or more.
Absolutely. I think this is so promising, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful. I'm almost tempted to say 9 on the palate.
Oh, I'm gonna give it a 9.
You go 9 as well.
Yeah, I was going to give it.
Okay, yeah, all right. Well, there we go. 2 9s on the palate. That's impressive stuff. And finally, the finish.
Yeah, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's the one part of this that I would like a bit more from. I feel it fades pretty quickly. It doesn't quite have any new notes coming through when the initial flavours subside. So if anything, I'd say the finish could have a bit more to it. But it's still nice. It's still warming. Still tasty. I just want a bit more from it. So, yeah, I would go... I'm going to go 7. I'm going to go 7 on the finish.
Yeah, I think 7.
7, yeah. Yeah, I think if you're a fan of sherried whiskies, I think the sherried notes come through a lot stronger than some of the other notes in there, given that it's been in bourbon cask as well and things. But I think if you're a fan of sherried whiskies, I urge you to check that out, because I think you'd be really surprised. You may look at Swedish whiskey and think nah, but honestly, I think anyone out there who's fan of sherried whiskies, fan of Glenfarclas, things like that, really urge you to give that a go, because that I'm really intrigued by that. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I instantly want another jam. I finished it. We're going to have to buy a bottle, aren't we? Because
it's cracking stuff. If you like a drink,
Gold Whiskey. Join the clan. Listen to our wee playlisty. This is my dram.
Ach, that's what that podcast's all about.
So, I'm going to finish off with my final song on the playlist as well then. So, I'm going to go for probably my introduction to Swedish music came from this band called The Radio Department. I heard them way back in kind of 2004 time. They kind of cropped up on a recommendation, one of those kind of computer, what would you say, the kind of computer curated recommendations, you know, based on your listening habits. What would you call them?
Oh, you mean the wee robots and the
the algorithms or whatever.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
I'm usually quite cynical of, but I pumped in. I didn't pump in anything. I punched in.
Well, that's where you went wrong. That's what you did wrong. That's why your computer is constantly having to go back to the shop to get fixed.
I punched in. My favorite artist into some internet site that told me try out this.
Who fucking says punch into the computer?
Like, no, you're punching your password.
It's something like your granny would say. I got one of these tablet iPads for the shop to do the Tesco shop on, and I've been punching in groceries all over the place. Fucking hell.
Well, anyway, I punched in my details into Last.fm and it recorded all of my songs I've been playing, and the thing it came out with was then have you listened to these guys, and I was like, as if a computer knows what I'm gonna like, and I clicked on it and I was like, this is fucking brilliant. So since then I've found computer automated curation has not been quite as spot on. Sometimes Spotify does quite well with it, but I prefer human curated playlists generally, but it's fantastic, and I've just gotten to everything they've done since. They're rather annoyingly dubbed as dream pop, which I think is a bit of a horrible term, but the idea is that it's quite kind of light pop with you know, quite bright guitars behind it and lots of nice little interacting guitar riffs going on. And they initially were a four or five piece band, I believe, and then they've now kind of whittled themselves down to just two guys on their computers creating beats and adding stuff on. But the song I've picked is from back when they were a full band, so we've got, you know, this awesome drum beat that kind of kicks in, and they've over distorted it and over reverbed it on the production, and it's fantastic.
Great.
And
so this is dream pop, did you say?
This is dream pop. Do you know that even existed?
I've never heard of it.
Yeah,
I mean, this is the sort of thing that, you know, music journalists sit in their offices and, you know,
dream up.
literally just pick a couple of words out of the, you know, they throw a dictionary at the wall, and yeah, whatever word it lands on is the new genre. I wonder if, actually, if it's the same guys who come up with the music genres who write the backstories for the whiskey distilleries on their About Us page on their website, or for the...
How pretentious can they get?
Yeah.
But yeah, so dream pop, I think what they basically mean is ambient pop, is how I'd probably better describe it. But yeah, so very of the ilk of kind of My Bloody Valentine, but kind of a little bit more kind of bright and kind of relaxed than perhaps the angstiness of My Bloody Valentine. So this is from one of their early albums by the Radio Department called Ewan, and yeah, enjoy it. Spend some So that was Ewan by the radio department, but also I recommend you check out their later stuff as well, which gets a bit more kind of laptop pop. I'm just coming up with new genres for them as well now.
Laptop yeah. pop.
So
lap pop. That's different. That is definitely different.
You don't want to type in laptop. Okay, so we have just got really our playlist left to do. So we're going to pop some extra Swedish songs on the playlist. So, Andy, what are the other three songs you'd like to include on our playlist on Spotify that you can find by searching for This Is My Dram, all one word on Spotify? You'll be able to find all of our playlists for every single episode there. What extra songs are you going for, Andy?
Well, to continue the kind of pop theme, I'm going to go for Buffalo Stance by Nena Cherry,
mm-hmm.
which is just a cracking pop song.
It's from earlier in her career, isn't it?
Early on in her career.
But she's still going. She was she played the Six Music Festival in Newcastle 2 years ago.
Yeah, half sister of Eagle Eye Cherry.
Is she?
Yeah.
Is that
and
who would I know?
And her stepfather is Don Cherry, who's a famous American jazz trumpeter as well. So
got you. Cool.
Yeah. So Buffalo Stance by Nena Cherry, great song. No money man can win my love. It's sweetness that I'm thinking of. We always hang in a buffalo stance. We do the down in the town dance. I give you love, baby, not romance. I make a move, nothing left to chance. So don't you get fresh. I'm gonna have to put some Swedish jazz on there. I know that's gonna completely ruined.
Don't worry, I'll put a disclaimer at the beginning of the podcast.
So it's got to be as Bjorn Svensson Trio, EST.
Nice.
They're probably the most famous Swedish jazz band, I guess. Finish up with a band called Movits, MOVITS ! With their song Feldel Af Garden, which I think translates as the wrong part of the yard, the wrong side of the yard. And it's a Swedish song, which
it's actually in Swedish.
Yeah. The lyrics are in Swedish, and after being on the Stephen Colbert show, they ended up, you know, number one on the American download charts, which is pretty incredible for a sort of electro swing song that's in with the lyrics in Swedish. So, yeah. Du kan kalla mig utanför för att jag inte gjorde som en annan gjorde när jag gjorde som man gjorde förr. Ursäkta om jag stör. Nu jobbar inte grämmen någon för men tänt ringer ju polisen varenda gång och säger det är jag som stör. I'm going to go for, again, continuing along the pop theme to begin with. It's been a poptastic episode, but The Cardigans, I think, are one of the most famous kind of pop bands from Sweden, or pop rock, pop indie, and I think Erase Rewind with the beautiful production on it is absolutely fantastic. So I just love the space that they allow the track to have in that one.
You know the difference it makes. What did you?
I'm also going to go for the tallest man on earth, who is quite a Bob Dylan-esque singer-songwriter. He's got a similar kind of croaky, husky voice to Bob Dylan, very impassioned, and he writes some great kind of acoustic guitar music. So I'm going to pick a song from his first album called The Wild Hunt, and I'm going to pick the title track, The Wild Hunt itself. I think it's just a lovely intro to the album.
I left my heart to the wild hunter coming. I live until the call, and I plan to be forgotten when I'm gone. Yes, I believe in the fall.
And finally, I'm going to go for another pop song. I'm going to go for Licky Lee. I think that's how you say it. Lykkeli. Sorry if my pronunciation is not brilliant. Who's a pretty famous pop artist at the moment, and she's got a track called I Follow Rivers, which I particularly like. So I'll put that one on as well. Great, so that's probably the end of our Swedish episode for today. So we've managed to avoid any references to meatballs or Muppet Chefs or...
IKEA,
yeah, or anything like that. So I think we've done pretty well at kind of avoiding clichés.
I can't think of any other clichés, so that's not bad.
Yeah, we've done all right. And to be honest, I've just been blown away by how good that McMire is. I think I've gone into it really not knowing what to expect and come out of it thinking... I really want a bottle of it, and I really want to see what they come out with in the future if they do kind of further expressions.
It's sort of similar sense to when we tried some of the Paul John stuff. If you just kind of think this is a distillery I need to keep my eye on.
It really opens your eyes to like other distilleries around the world, you know, and not kind of focusing just in on Scotch. Because there is some really exciting stuff out there, and if you take your whiskey snobbishness hat off and move away from Scotch, you're opening your palate to loads of delights, really, aren't you? So, and this is just another fantastic example of that. So, absolutely fantastic. Okay, don't forget to check us out on the usual places, Twitter, at This Is My Drum. Don't forget to read the blog, thisismydrum.wordpress.com. And feel free to check out that remaining poptastic Swedish playlist on Spotify. If you search for This Is My Drum, all one word, you can find it there. But I think that's everything we've got for you today. So thank you very much for listening again. We will see you for another incredible, fantastic This Is My Drum episode next time.
See you then.
Goodbye.